Good morning. I'm Allison Loftus. Today's story comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'm reading from the Common English Bible Translation. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterwards Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, "Since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus replied, "It is written, people don't live only by bread." Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all the kingdom of the world. The devil said, "I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus answered, "It's been said, don't test the Lord your God." After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a story I heard once from an old preacher about two little boys that were talking to each other on the playground at the beginning of Lent. And one of the boys, the first boy, says to the second boy that he is not going to be able to eat chocolate for 40 days. And the second boy, shocked and sort of horrified by that, asks why in the world anyone would ever have to do that. And the first boy says, "Well, because it's Lent." And the second boy asks, "Well, what is Lent?" And then the first boy, obviously a budding theologian, responds, "It's when Jesus died for our sins, so now we all have to suffer." The truth is that Lent first started being practiced by the church in the 4th century, and it was a way to prepare Christians for the three holiest days of the year, which are Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. And Lent marks those 40 days leading up to Easter, not counting Sundays. We're going to talk about why Sundays don't count in a couple weeks. The number 40 holds particular meaning in the scriptures of both the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament. Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before etching the Ten Commandments into those stone tablets. And the Hebrew people wandered for 40 years in the desert between their escape from slavery in Egypt and their entrance into the Promised Land. The prophet Elijah wandered hungry in the wilderness for 40 days, and of course, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness where he faced temptation. And yes, as the little boy on the playground said, it's long been the practice of Christians to give up something for the 40 days of Lent. Chocolate, or wine, or coffee, or screens. The idea is to do as Jesus did. Take a good, long look at the things that tempt us. To sit with our desires and our wants and to learn what they have to teach us. If we give up something that we love, then we'll make space in our lives for closeness to God. We'll be able to contemplate the space that temptation takes up in our lives. We'll connect with the deprivation and the suffering of Jesus. I mean, that's the idea. But forgive me, I have been giving up stuff for Lent since I was like 10 years old. And just to be radically honest here, never in the 30-ish years that I've been doing this has giving up chocolate for 40 days, and it's almost always chocolate, has that given me space to truly contemplate my relationship with God. Like, the chocolate doesn't really do that. Or to really focus on the space that temptation takes up in my life. Maybe the year I gave up cursing. I did, that was very tempting. And it has never truly connected me with the suffering of Christ. It's usually just kind of made me cranky. Sometimes a little self-righteous, which is a nice feeling every now and then. And I'm not trying to be flippant. Like, the story that we read about Jesus and his 40 days in the wilderness, it is a deeply serious, deeply important story. For one thing, it shows us, it's a beautiful story that shows us Jesus in his humanity. This is not Jesus bathed in glory on a mountaintop. It's not Jesus confidently teaching or healing or casting out demons. In this story, there's this 30-year-old guy, a carpenter's son, on his own in the wilderness, hungry and tired and thirsty and lonely, trying to figure out what this all means, and who he is, and what he'll put his faith in, and how he's going to choose to live. I could not identify with Jesus more than in this story. Because, beloveds, the last year or so has felt very much like wilderness to me. And I know it has to many of you too. I mean, it's been hard. We all know we've been living in this kind of divisive, conflicted sort of communal life together, which no matter where you fall in the spectrum of places you could fall in all of that contention and division, it's strained relationships. It's caused suspicion and cynicism and uncertainty, the reckoning with who we are and what we believe as a community of people. But beyond that, this year, a lot of us have lost people we love dearly, parents, siblings, partners, friends, family. Many of us have gone through big changes. Parents or partners aging or getting sick, dealing with our own illness or pain, kids moving away from home, babies being born, kids going to kindergarten, all of those are beautiful moments, but they also come with exhaustion and with worry and, like any change, good or bad, with loss of something. And then, of course, there's just the general hard stuff about being a human, having to do, like, everyday human things. Like parenting, which is beautiful and hard and sometimes at the exact same moment. Like finding balance in our lives. Like trying to figure out where we belong, where we fit in. Like discerning whether the work we're doing is the work we're called to or the work we want to do. Like building and sustaining relationships or facing the hard truth that a relationship has come to an end. I mean, the wilderness is real. It's hard to be in the place where we feel overwhelmed or exhausted or ill-equipped. It's hard to try to figure out what it means and who we are and what we put our faith in and how we choose to live and move in this wilderness space that we're in. And I mean, the temptation is there. It's there for us. It's there for Jesus too, to go off on our own, to depend only on ourselves to create and sustain and protect ourselves, to ward off the worst of the wilderness with our own power. Like, I can turn stones into bread. Or to keep our fear at bay by creating our own sense of security. Like, I could jump off of this building and be fine. Or to keep our shame away by building up our own ego. All of the kingdoms of the world are mine, right? Our temptations are the fears that we hold and the desire that we have to not feel those fears or to have security or to belong. It's those fears in the driver's seat. And what the story today reveals, what Jesus shows us in dealing with his own temptations, is that those oh-so-tempting solutions that our most fearful impulses offer us, they're illusions. Like, they can't provide any of the stuff we actually want. They're lies. If Jesus jumped off the cliff to prove how much God loved him, he would get hurt. If Jesus accepted all of that glory and all of that authority that the devil was offering him, which the devil couldn't deliver on anyway, it wouldn't have solved the underlying issue that is facing him in the wilderness, which is the question of who he is really, and of what he's being asked to do with his life. Look, the desires behind our temptations aren't bad. They're misguided. We want to experience power. We want to have control over ourselves. We want security. We want belonging. Those are good things to want. They're life-affirming things. As long as we seek them in the right place. But when we, as we too often do, seek them in the wrong places, power by forcing others to see it our way, or security by building walls to protect us from discomfort, or belonging in the approval of the world, when we do that, it turns into temptation that drives us away from God. But again, I don't know how any of this really has to do with chocolate ice cream or Real Housewives binge. Because generally, to be honest, the stuff that we give up for Lent is pretty harmless to us. And usually, I mean, it's mostly symbolic. But it's also usually the stuff that brings us joy. It's usually the stuff that helps us to cope with the hard parts of living in the wilderness. And I really don't think that what Jesus had in mind for us was a Lent like the little boy on the playground described. Jesus didn't come to make us suffer. Jesus came to be the way and the truth and the life. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundant. The point of Lent is not to suffer. The point of Lent is to tell the truth. The wilderness is real. Life is hard for everyone and for Jesus. This is also a truth of Lent. We can do hard things. Paul said that in Christ and with Christ, we can do all things, which includes the hard things. And we are facing really hard things. Doing justice is hard. Figuring out who we are in new realities for our families, our friendships, our country is hard. Grieving is hard. Parenting is hard. Aging is hard. Being sick is hard. Seeing people we love be sick is hard. Life is hard. But we can do hard things. So here is my proposal for our Lent this year. What if we gave up in a better way? What if instead of giving up the things that make it easier to do the hard things, the stuff that brings us joy or helps us cope, like coffee or dinner out with friends or, you know, a stupid TV show or taking time for ourselves or chocolate? What if this year we gave up the things that make it harder to do the hard things? What if we looked at the truly hard temptations in our lives? The truly, really real temptations, things that are hard, like seeking approval or like killing ourselves in order to prove ourselves. What if we looked at the things we do that hurt us or that cause us to hurt others? What if we were honest about the things that we do that really do not serve us or in fact keep us disconnected from ourselves, from others, and from God? In the wilderness, Jesus faces down the things that tempt him away from the way of God. He sorted through the lies that those temptations told him, and instead he told the truth that love is power, that grace is security, and that God is the true place of our deepest belonging. Beloveds, I want a Lent like that. In the midst of the wilderness I'm walking in and we're walking in, I want a Lent like that. I want to tell the truth about the stuff that's hard and about the things that make it harder. I want to look at the ways that I disconnect from God, the ways that I fail to center the identity that God has given me as God's beloved child, and instead replace it with all sorts of my own imaginings about what will be fulfilling or safe or comfortable. But more than that, I want to remember that love is bigger than all of that. I want to remember that abundance and wholeness is God's deepest desire for us and is there for us. I want to remember that justice and mercy and compassion is hard, but it is essential and it is powerful. I want to remember that I don't have to run or hide or pretend, because the love of God is bigger and safer and warmer than all of the walls that I build to keep myself protected. Because that is the truth that Lent tells us. Life is hard, and we can do hard things because God is with us and because Christ forgives us. Because grace leads us. When you came into the sanctuary today, you got a piece of paper and a pen. In a couple minutes, Paul is going to play some music. And as we listen to the music, I invite you to write on your paper about something that you would like to give up this week. Not something that makes it easier for you to do the hard things, but something in your life that's making it harder to do the hard things. That God is, the hard things that God's asking you to do are the hard things that your wilderness is calling you to do. And if you're not quite sure what that might be, then just write about what feels stuck in your life right now. What is sucking the life out of you? What feels like your wheels are spinning? What makes it hard to love yourself or to love others? What would you like to give up this week that's making it hard to do the hard things? This Lent, may we find the voice of God amidst the wilderness of our lives. May we find the thing that God is saying to our hearts. May we find the path that the Spirit is opening for us. May we find the truth that Christ has planted in us. May we give up, but in a good way. Amen.